Good morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate the Lord, don't you? He's surely been our helper and our strength this week, Brother Keith, as he always is, and I thank him for that. We'll be going back to Proverbs 2, looking at that portion of Scripture this morning. Do want to remind you, pray for Brother Shank. I think he's preaching for Brother Eckstein today. Is that right, Brother Hyatt?
Yes.
Yeah. Make sure to pray for him. God will help those people and help him preach the Word of God. Certainly, I pray this every day. I say, Lord, there's a lot of your men out there, a lot of your churches I don't even know. But if they're your people, touch them today. We all need your help. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. Pray God's will be done among his people on this Lord's Day across this country. We certainly need his help. Amen. Brother Chris, if you pray before we go to the Word of God, I appreciate it.
Father, this morning, I want to thank you again for the opportunity, Lord, to gather ourselves this morning together. Ask you, Lord, tonight and today, Lord, that you might move amongst our services.
Lord, please.
Lord, I pray that you please, Lord, touch it and help us, Lord, this morning to be seeking thy face and be seeking thy word.
Yes.
Ask you, Lord, that you might touch this teaching hour, Lord, be in the midst of it.
Lord, I need
your
help.
Lord, you touch the teachers, Lord.
I pray you speak to the heart of your people this day. God, teach us, I pray, draw us closer to you.
Bring forth your word in power and truth.
God, help us, I pray.
Lord, if you might help those that are here, Lord, tickle their ears, Lord, in a way, Lord, they might be attentive, Lord.
Lord, help us.
What you'd have to say to their hearts.
Please, Lord.
Help us, Lord, to apply your
please,
word to
Lord.
Our life and our heart and our mind and our families, Lord, whatever is necessary. I pray, Lord, that you help us this morning in your way, in your will. And, Father, we'll thank you again. For it is in Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. I appreciate that. Proverbs 2, we'll start with verse 10. I think Brother Chris read that verse last week, but we'll start there and move on. Proverbs 2 and verse 10. The Bible said, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. This passage here, it mentions two things. It says when this happens, and then it follows up in the next few verses and tells us what the results of that will be. But back to verse 10, we'll look at those two things. It says when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto the soul. And I want to dwell there a minute, and I do want to say that wisdom comes from God. This is talking, I believe, about spiritual discernment. Hearing the voice of God, God speaking to us and teaching our hearts and directing our hearts, Brother Keith, in the way that we should go no matter what we face. And it's not talking about man's wisdom. Man's wisdom, Brother Todd's flawed. Amen. I have natural wisdom of the flesh. It ain't worth much, Brother Chris. We need to be walking in the wisdom of God. I'm glad he knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything. He understands all things. He sees things coming down the road, Brother Joe, I don't see coming. He can prepare me for things that's around the bend that I don't know is going to occur. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes, much less tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. Amen. I sort of got tickled. Brother Hyde was talking this morning. He said something about Brother Bud when he was alive. He used to say, "I can't see that far ahead." Right. Somebody asked him, what you going to do such and such a day? I don't know. I can't see that far ahead yet. I like that.
Amen.
Well, one day at a time.
Yes.
Whatever next week's going to bring, Brother Todd, God already knows about it.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
We do, but we really shouldn't even worry about it. If by the grace of God we're still here and we make it the next week, God already knows what's ahead of us. He's already got the way made if you're His child. And if you'll just listen for that voice from heaven and follow the wisdom of God as He speaks it to your heart, amen, it'll be all right. May not be easy. We all know we're still facing tough times, tough experiences. But it'll be all right. We'll have the help of God to get through it. We'll have the grace of God. I appreciate the wisdom of God. It says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and Brother Hyde, I couldn't help but think, the only way a man or a woman has the wisdom of God to operate on is if they have God, if they've been saved. You must be born again. Nobody has the wisdom of God if they don't have the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen. They're operating off the natural. They're operating off the world's wisdom, which we know is folly and foolishness. Amen. That's why the lost world does things that we look at, and if it wouldn't be for the fact that we understand the way things work because God's told us in His book, and we still do it sometime, Brother Todd, we'd sit there and just shake our head and say, "I can't understand why they do that." What's the good reason why they're doing that? They have not the Spirit of God. They have not the wisdom of God to operate off of. It's foolishness to them. Is that not what the Bible says?
Yes.
They can't understand it. Why? Because it's spiritually discerned.
Right.
And they have not the Spirit of God.
Yes.
That's why they do things they do. That's why they think things the way they do. That's why they say things they say. That's why they live life the way they do. Thank God we have access to the wisdom of God. Amen. So if you're saved this morning, this verse is specifically speaking to you.
Yes.
Amen. It's speaking to me. It's speaking to all of God's children. But, we all need to look at it as an individual. It's speaking to us. Amen. But it says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart. You know what, Brother Joe? When I was first saved, when God first came to me and changed me and made me a new creature in Christ 20 years ago, I didn't have the same level of, say, discernment that I do today.
Amen.
It is a process of a growth in grace. It don't happen overnight. Somebody gets saved next week, you can't expect them, Brother Keith, to act like somebody's been saved 30 years. Unfortunately, sometimes some people tell you they've been saved 10, 20, 30 years, they still act like they're a babe in Christ.
Amen.
So you explain that. But when it entereth in, when we're saved, you begin having access to the wisdom of God. Amen? And that's what we should operate off of. You say, well, through prayer, through the reading of the Word of God, that's how you find the wisdom of God. Amen? God many times say, well, God speaks to our heart and gives us direction what to do. And I say that's right, but God will never speak to your heart contrary to the Word of God. If somebody walked up to me and said, God, I believe, was speaking to my heart, Brother Joe, and told me do this or do that, and there wasn't Scripture to back that up, my advice to them would be, I think you need to go back and pray again. I think you misunderstood. Amen, that's right. But it says when it does enter in, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Amen. I want to say this morning. I love this book. Amen. I trust this Word of God. I believe every word of it. Brother Aaron, I'll be honest. There's things in here I don't fully understand. But I believe it. There's some things in this book I tell you I know it's true. But I probably couldn't give you a very good explanation why as far as human intellect or reasoning. I just know it's true because this book tells me so.
There you go. Amen.
Amen. I'm not told to understand everything. I'm not told to figure out God. Matter of fact, this book, Brother Joe, tells us we'll never figure God out. I mean, this book asks us the question, Brother Todd, who is His counselor? Amen. God don't take advice from nobody. God don't need nobody's advice. He don't need my opinion. Amen. I told them boys up to jail the other day. I said, God's will can be found right here in the pages of this scripture. And when God goes to do something, He don't call down here and say, Brother Blackwell, I want your vote on it. He don't ask me to vote. I don't get a vote.
No, you don't.
And you know what? That don't bother me. Hey, because I know I'm not as smart as he is, Brother Joe. But it says, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Is the Word of God, which is our source of knowledge, is it pleasant to your soul today? Are you satisfied with the Word of God and the Word of God alone? It's my question to you today. Does it mean something to you? Brother Joe, this book is sweet to me.
Oh, yes.
I love feeding off of it. I love sitting and reading it, pondering on it, thinking on it, praying, asking God to give me understanding of what it says. It's a value to me. This is my counselor. This is my instructor. Amen? Is that right? I'll say this and I'll just say it quickly and move on. I don't understand for the life of me why a child of God would go seeking for direction in their life somewhere other than the Word of God. Now, if I've got a problem or if I've got something I need to talk to somebody about, I could call Brother Keith, I could call Brother Joe, Brother Robert, I could call Brother Hyatt. And I've got confidence in those men and others in here that if I asked them their advice, they'd tell me best they knew from the Word of God what I ought to do. Amen? That's coming from the Word of God. I don't understand somebody that have problems in their life, Brother Joe, and they want to click that TV on and see what Dr. Phil thinks about it. That don't make a little sense to me. I've seen him on several occasions, and about every time I've ever listened to him for more than 5 minutes, I've heard him say something contradictory of what the Word of God teaches. So why would I want to listen to people like that? Amen? Turn over to Psalms 1 right quick. And any of you that's familiar at all with the Word of God, you know what it already says. But I want us to read just a portion of that this morning. If it's pleasant to your soul, you should be blessed and you should be pleased with it and you should be joyful. Wouldn't you say that's right, Brother Joe? Well, the Bible says here in Psalms 1, blessed is the man, what, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. That sounds pretty pleasant to me. Amen. The Word of God. I've done it. By the grace of God, I don't want to do it. I ain't going to do it again, but I've done it. I've went and sought counsel or comfort from something other than the Word of God or from God Himself many a times, even since I've been saved. And as I look back on it, the only thing I can say about each and every time I've ever done that, Brother Todd, is one word, foolish. Foolish. When I can hear from the very one that made all this, the creator of everything we see, Brother Joe, the one who knows everything from the beginning to the end, even can number the hairs on your head, knows our every thought, knows everything that's going to happen from beginning to end, why would I want to go anywhere else? Amen, for direction. It should be pleasant to me. Amen. I like it. You said, Word of God's pretty tough sometimes. Yeah, it is. Strikes my flesh quite often, Brother Joe. You know what? I'm thankful for that. Amen. I'll say this. Man, woman, child, I don't care who you are. When wisdom entereth in, it's like I've already said, that means you've been saved. It's the only way you have the wisdom of God to operate off of, is to have the Spirit of God. When a man or woman saved, they change. Amen? The proof and the evidence, and I'll back this up with Scripture, I'll stand on this against anybody. The proof and the evidence that you've been saved is a changed life. It's not that you prayed a prayer. You might have prayed a prayer, and that's fine and good. If I was lost today and knowed I was lost, God revealed that to me, I'd be on my knees up here begging God for mercy too. But praying that prayer don't save you. That's just you calling out to God for what you need. It's God that saves you. And salvation is being made a new creature in Christ. Amen? And I believe when you're saved, you'll start feeding off this book. And it will be sweet and pleasant to you. And you will want to walk in it. Amen? Even though we know we fail sometimes, but you'll want to. That'll be the desire of your heart. And I'll say this. Somebody says they saved and their life's not changed and they're still living out there in the world. They're lost. They're lost. If they can do it, I'll say this without chastisement, they're lost. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
It ought to be pleasant to you. But yet I see the professing church world, and I'm throwing in, you've heard me say it before, that's throwing in everybody that says they're saved. I see so many people in the professing Christian world that has no respect for this word. None. They don't read it. They don't think about it. They don't understand it. Amen? That's not wisdom coming in, and that's not knowledge being pleasant. Amen? And I'll say one more thing about this. This knowledge being pleasant. Brother Joe, the spiritual knowledge we need is a child of God, that we might prosper, that we might walk in the will of God, that we might do His will and be pleasing in His sight, comes from this book and nowhere else. Oh, you might read a good book that helps you, but if you do, it's because that Christian author wrote what he did based on what this says. It all will go back to this. Amen? I'm going to go ahead and say this. Young man, Brother Height, said something about he'd like to see God call one of these young people in the church, maybe to do something for him, to preach, whatever. Amen. If they were in here, my advice would be this to them, if they ever do experience that call. They need to sit here on the pew under the man of God and get their training from the Word of God. I'm not against a man getting education. But Brother Hyde, it amazes me, and you know I read a lot of church history. And I look at a lot of the history of the church down through the years since the Lord was here. And it amazes me that people in the, quote, ministry in this day and time is educated up to their eyeballs down there from the university or the seminary, but our churches are in worse shape than they've ever been in 2,000 years. I'm going to just leave that at that. I'll say this. If you want to go down there, that's fine and good. Man wants to go get education, that's good. I ain't saying there ain't some benefit to that. There is. But I'm going to tell you what, for somebody to teach or somebody to preach or even for you, if you're just a child of God, to be able to sit and read and study the Word of God and benefit from it and be able to apply it to your life and be able to help others in the Word of God, sitting counseling them, I'm going to tell you what, if you don't get it here from the house of God, from the Word of God, you ain't going to get it down there at a school or on an online course. Amen. Yeah. Now you can shake your head, nod your head, amen, old man, whatever you want to do, disagree, that's fine. If you don't get it here in the house of God, Brother Todd, you ain't going to get it over there.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. If you're not getting fed here, don't jump online and think you're going to take some kind of theology class online from the university and learn something that God ain't teaching right here, because God's going to teach it right here from this pulpit every Sunday and every Wednesday. That's God's ordained method.
Yes.
He uses the church. And like I said, I ain't against a man getting an education. But if a man's leaning on that, instead of leaning on the Word of God and listening to the voice of God, he's going to miss it. He's going to miss it. Now, I've got some good friends that's been down there, and I've talked to them before, Brother Keith. And I've asked them, what do they teach you down there? Do you spend your time studying the Word of God? You're basically shocked to find out very little of their time in classroom is actually centered around studying the Word of God. They're teaching them business administration. Stuff like that. Psychology.
Yeah.
Logic. Rhetoric. Whee! I know quite a few, Brother Hyatt, what the world consider uneducated men that I've experienced watching them stand in a pulpit and preach under the power and authority of the Word of God, and God move and people get help. I don't know very many that I know of with a big title and a big degree that I could say that about. I don't. We've educated, Brother Hyatt said before preaching, we've just about educated God completely out of the church building.
Yeah.
Amen. That's why he's knocking on the door in most places, wanting back in to have fellowship, because he's been booted out. And they've elevated the professor or Dr. So-and-so to the seat of authority and instruction in their life over God.
Yes.
I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but that's the truth.
Yes.
There ain't nothing wrong with good men. Good men can help you. Every one of us in here that's been saved any length of time, we can testify that there's been good people, good Christian people, men of God, teachers, fellow Christians, that's been a help to us and helped us in our growth. But I'm going to tell you what, you don't magnify them. If that's been done in your life through somebody, that's what it's been done through them by God. You don't elevate man. Knowledge should come from God, and it should be pleasant to us. That should be the sweetest thing, the most valuable thing we possess, Brother Keith, is this. This is the Word. Christ is the Word. This is the Lord. Not this paper and leather. These words are precious, Brother Joe. Is that not right?
It is.
They're precious. They're more valuable than silver and gold. That's what the book says. That's what God said. Anything of the world you could have don't even compare to in value to this. And to being saved. Amen. Or to be pleasant to us. Amen. And I'll say this, I don't think we have a whole lot of problem for the most part here in this church, and I'll say amen to it. But I'm going to keep mentioning it if God tells me to, because I don't want to see us slip and fall, because we could. I dare say there's probably been better church congregations than us that's fell by the wayside into apostasy down through the years because they've got away from God and started trusting in their own flesh or in man. Now, I'll leave that alone. But when wisdom enters into thine heart, knowledge is pleasant. Now, those two things, when that happens in your life, amen, you're saved, you have the access to the wisdom of God to operate off of, you have the knowledge of God to use at your disposal to walk this Christian life, here's some things the Bible tells us it'll do for us. It says, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. I'm kept by the power of God, Brother Joe.
Yes, sir.
Amen. There's nothing I did or could have done, Brother Todd, that could have saved me. I could not save myself. I cannot keep myself saved now. I am kept by the power of God. And I have the strength, spiritual strength, to serve God and worship God because I have access to this. And the Spirit of God to teach it to me. And to give me the grace to apply it to my life. Amen. It'll keep us. Look at verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. I looked that word froward up. It means perverse. It means to have an attitude to not respect truth or to reject truth. Boy, are we in that day and time. Brother Joel, smile on this. I know I go back to this a lot, but the Catholic Church is a good example of that. It's tradition, they say, not the Word of God. They'll tell you tradition is more valuable than the Word of God. Well, where'd your tradition come from? Oh, they say it come from the apostles. But there's no evidence the apostles ever taught those things. So maybe they're making it up. Amen. Maybe they're making it up. It ain't just Catholics doing that either. A lot of other denominations are trying to live and walk off of tradition. I like good traditions. We'll have homecoming Sunday here in a couple weeks. Nothing wrong with that. I enjoy spending a little time out there after a service and fellowshipping with the people of God and coming to the house of God and then having meeting for a portion of the week afterwards. Have the man of God, Brother Pace, looking forward to hearing him come in and preach. Amen. That's a good tradition. But there's some traditions, Brother Keith, ain't worth 2 cents, ain't got a bit to do with the things of God. I say, kick them out. You'd be better off just kick them out. I'll say this, Brother Joe, I told you on the way over here, sometimes I watch the news and about all those ever make me mad. But I saw this week for Robert Gates, if you don't know who that is, he was the defense secretary under both George W. Bush and Obama his first couple years. He's now the director over the Boy Scouts of America. He made an announcement the other day that they're going to just give up the fight and they're going to go ahead and allow sodomites to be leaders in the Boy Scouts. Said that they just couldn't sustain that position anymore reasonably, and so they were going to back off of that stand and just let them come on in. Now, I just said that, and I don't know what that may jump through your mind. And you might think this is funny, Brother Chris, but you know what was the first thing that went through my mind? Think what you want to. A lot of these Boy Scout troops is organized in church congregations. Now, I ain't saying there ain't some good benefit from being in the Boy Scouts. Some of you may have been in the Boy Scouts back when they stood for something and actually taught some good values and some things worth knowing. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. I ain't saying there is. But here's my question. What's a church doing running a Boy Scout troop to start with? That's a worldly organization. I can't find set you up a Boy Scout troop at the church in this book. You want to do it through the wife? Fine. Help yourself. I wouldn't let my kid in if they was of age anymore. They're going to be doing that. Tradition, Brother Todd. We ought to have the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God to know to just leave some things out of the house of God because it's not spiritual. May not be nothing wrong with participating in it, but it shouldn't be part of the house of God. So I'll just leave that alone. Amen. Spiritual things ought to be what goes on down in the house of God. Things that centers around the Word of God, preaching, praising, praying, singing, amen, fellowship with the brethren, something that promotes the fellowship with the brethren. Nothing wrong going out here having a meal together. That's promoting fellowship among the brethren. I believe that's spiritual. Don't you, Brother Todd? Bible tells us to love one another, fellowship one another, be a comfort and a help to one another. That's what we're doing. But a lot of times, a lot of church congregations is bringing things of the world into the house of God, and they're bringing problems on their own self by doing it. Amen? You can't feed off worldly things and expect to come out walking out the door stronger spiritually. Can't do it. Amen. Don't work that way. Look at verse 13. Who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Well, if we have that wisdom and that knowledge, that teaches us and gives us the strength, should have the desire in our heart to avoid them things, Brother Keith. Is that not right? We ought to desire to be upright and holy. This book still says, last time I checked, be ye holy because he's holy. Amen. We ought to desire to be holy. Are we ever going to be perfect? Not that we get out of this body. But we ought to desire to be. I do. I fail at it, Brother Keith, but that's the desire of my heart. I want to be. I want to do right. I want to please the Lord each and every day. Amen? I do. That's my honest desire. Well, when wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant to you, that's what it ought to do. It ought to enable you to leave the paths of, to not walk in the ways of darkness. Like I just said already, salvation will change you. You're still subject to temptation because we're in flesh, but I'm going to tell you what, you will not continue to dwell in sin continually. If you can do that, like I said, and without chastisement, if you can do that and enjoy it and be happy about it, you're not saved. Period. If you're in sin this morning and you're saved, then you should be under the chastening hand of God. It says He chastens every child. That means every one of us. Is that all right, Brother Tom? Chastens all His children. Why? Because He loves us. Let me ask you this, and I'll move on from that point. Every one of us in here, I would assume just about every one of us has children. Some of us grandchildren. Maybe even great-grandchildren. You corrected them and led them in the way to go and dealt with them properly when they didn't do right. Is that not right, Brother Todd? Is that not the way you raised your boys and still raising Trevor? Why? Because you love them. Sometimes maybe they weren't old enough to understand that things they might get involved in or might do is not for their good and not for their best benefit. But you knew that. They got mad and aggravated. I'm sure just like my children did sometimes. You told them no. Is that right? But we told them out of love because that's what was in their best interest. Amen? That's out of love. Amen. Boy, I'm glad God does that through His wisdom and knowledge for us, don't you, Brother Joe? I'm glad He directs me. I'm not what I ought to be. But I'm sure thankful I'm not what it used to be. Verse 14, we'll wind this down. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Why would you want to follow after people that spits in the face of God, who disobeys God, who hates God? Is that right, Brother Chris? Lost man hates God. Is that right? They'll jump up and down and they'll say, oh, I don't hate God. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. We've got to understand in the Bible that word hate, really, if you really want a good definition, it's a rejection of. Now, a person may not be standing there shaking their fist up at the sky and say, I despise you up there. But if they're rejecting His goodness and His salvation and His direction and His ways and His wisdom and His knowledge, that they might walk in the ways of this world and the ways of the wicked, they're rejecting Him. Is that right? That means they hate Him. That means they hate Him. Brother Aaron, you may know people. I know people. I'm not going to say I hate nobody. By the grace of God, I don't want to hate nobody. But I'll just say when I was lost, there was people. I wouldn't have harmed them. I wouldn't have went and attacked them. I wouldn't have done anything like that and brought them harm, but I didn't go around them. Had no interest in fellowshipping with them. Why? Like it or not, because I hate them. Oh, we try to soften it up and say, well, you know, I just don't like them, or we ain't got a lot in common. Well, you hate them. You hated God before you say. You rejected Him. You hated God. I did. Is that right, Brother Keith? Is that what the book teaches? All men hate God until He's revealed to them and they come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then all of a sudden you'll fall in love with Him. Amen. Ain't that a miracle? Ain't that a miracle? There's a lot of people out there I don't think a whole lot of, Brother Joe, is we're just one human being to another. I'm just speaking as a man in the flesh. But I wouldn't go where they're at this morning and harm them. But I don't really care for them. But the wisdom of God, Brother Keith, has taught me, and I still need to learn better, that even those people that frustrate me and aggravate me and make me mad, make me shake my head, make me stomp my feet, and and all them other things and smoke come out my ears. They're just a sinner like I was one day. And there's hope for them. God's able to save them, Brother Key, just as good as He saved me. My reaction, wisdom of God teaches me my reaction should be to try to love them and to pray for them and pray God's grace would fall upon them. Because you know what? To get saved and become a member of the family of God, all of a sudden I'd love them. Ain't that right? It makes the difference to have access to the wisdom and knowledge of God. Amen. What a blessing. Brother Aaron, I ain't a real smart fella. I'm really not. But I'm glad I have access to the one who knows it all. Because He gave me this. He gave me Spirit in here. Amen. I thank God for that. As a lost man, I was pretty foolish. Still a little foolish. Amen. But I'm glad that I have understanding of things now I didn't have, Brother Joe. That's a great blessing.
Oh, yes, it is.
Because without that, I wouldn't love you.
Amen.
I wouldn't love and be concerned about them men up at the jail. We go in there, and I'm not going to mention it, but them men are accused of crimes that makes us cringe. I mean, makes us just go, ugh. And there's something in us that just almost want to just grab by the throat and squeeze. But I go in there every week, and Brother Joe testified this too, and I find myself going in there and seeing those men as a lost soul.
Yes, sir.
And feeling for them, not feeling sorry for them, because they're where they're at because of what they've done. And they're going to reap what they've sown. But I'm thankful they could be saved by the grace of God just as well as I was. Amen. Like it or not, they're just a sinner.
Yes, sir.
Just like I was. I could say, well, I didn't do those things. Don't matter. I was just as much a sinner and just as much on my way to hell as they are if they don't get saved. Well, I thank God for His wisdom and His knowledge this morning, don't you? Thank God for His Word. I like the book of Proverbs, Brother Keith. It's very instructive. Amen. I appreciate it. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this time. I pray it's been a help. I pray something's been said that's been a blessing, been encouragement to our heart and instruction to our heart. Help us to stay in and dwell in the Word of God and learn of Thee. But to not follow the ways of men, but God, to follow You and to walk in Your ways. God, to trust You and believe You. God, I pray for the 11 o'clock hour. May You touch the man of God. Speak to him the will of God for this hour, Lord, that we might walk in it in this service. Whatever's done, be pleased in Your sight and what You want, that You might bless. And we'll certainly thank You and give You the grace, give You the glory, Father, for all that You do. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.